Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Well, hour number two is upon us. Glad you can be with us. If you missed us, you missed a good hour. We just had Dr. Dan Nelson with us for, two-thirds of the first hour. And so if you're still thinking maybe you're on the fence, shame on you, get off the fence. If you're in pain and you're not happy about it and it's going on and on, call his office at 425-636-4442. But I now have Dr. Michael Gilbert. Good to see you, Michael.
Good morning, Pete, Jerry. It's so good to be here.
Yeah, well,
it's always nice to have you back. Yeah,
thank you, sir.
That's right. And
your red and blue glasses.
That's right. Well, that's unfair. You have your choice. You can get glasses.
I do have a wardrobe.
You do have a batch of
glasses. Back in the days where we wore silk ties, I used to have them matching and complimentary, and it was fun. Now my fun comes from other places. But oh, well.
See, the only color-coordinated accoutrements I have are my fedoras.
Yes, well, they're great.
Yeah, you do.
I do covet your fedoras.
You know, I have a day-to-day brown one that I wear with my brown leather jacket, and I have a black one I wear with my black coats, and I have a gray one that I wear with my blue top coat, and, you know. And
it's so, the bubblegum pink one that I'm not that fond of.
I know. Well, you know.
Why do I think you're pulling her?
Yeah.
I don't do the bubblegum
pink. That's right. In any event.
My daughter would like it.
Yeah, yes.
So, usually our regular listeners know that the second hour we start off with some teaching, some education, and that's often during this last year about COVID. You started off in prime form today, Jerry.
You called me crusty.
You were crusty. You were, I think, just a little beyond crusty.
Crispy.
No, it was...
On the edge.
It was crispy. No, I don't know what it was. Anyway...
It was fun. Anyway, I got to insult politicians.
Oh.
So, well, that is easy to do today. So before, you know, right during the hour, you know, Dan was leaving, the first hour ended, and you were grabbing, you two were talking about your practice, Michael,
yes,
as it relates to COVID, because it's had an effect.
Yeah, hypercoagulable vision changes.
There's no question. And fortunately, the presentation, COVID presentation in the ophthalmologist office is not the most common, by far. But we've definitely had reports of patients who have some loss of vision, and it is because, and that loss of vision is because of vascular occlusion, artery or vein in the retina. And it turns out that a fair percentage of these patients have COVID, and it's that hypercoagulable state that is associated with the vascular occlusion. Now, the concerning part of that is, of course, that in the retina, what's being blocked is the microvasculature, which is not remarkably different from microvasculature anywhere else in the body, especially in the brain. So if it's happening in your eyes, it's easily happening someplace else.
And in the lung.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and that's a big part of
and that makes recovery difficult, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And for those of you who are not familiar with terms that
a lot of those terms,
hypercoagulability and microvasculature. Okay. We're talking about one of the big problems with COVID, this particular virus, is that it causes blood clots to form in the smallest blood vessels, those little tiny arteries that allow the blood red cells to go through basically in single file. You can only have room for one red cell at a time. So they go through in a line. Those vessels are especially susceptible to be damaged by the COVID infection. And when that happens in the lungs, when this infection started almost 2 years ago now, or a year and a half ago, we thought it was pneumonia. We thought this were these changes we were seeing and the fact that they couldn't breathe were because the virus was causing a true pneumonia. What we now know is that it was basically destroying those tiny, tiny blood vessels that exchange the oxygen for carbon dioxide in the lung, those little microvessels around the alveoli. And when you kill those, then the alveoli go too. And that's why the ventilators didn't work. It wasn't that the air sacs were not working. It was the blood vessels that carry the oxygen and carbon dioxide both ways. Those had been destroyed. And so when you put them on the ventilators, you could drive enough oxygen to make them survive for a while. But within about 2 to 3 weeks, the vast majority of the ventilator patients died anyway.
And excuse me, go ahead.
No, well, and that's, and what we're seeing in the eye, the same tiny, tiny blood vessels that are damaged in the lung and in the brain.
Yes.
Get damaged in the eye.
And the reason the retina is amongst the most vulnerable is it turns out the highest tissue, the tissue with the highest oxygen consumption per metric unit is the macula, the central retina, that area responsible for your sharpest vision.
Really?
And okay. That's why, so multiples of anywhere else in the body. And so there are high networks of, high capacity networks of blood vessels around that area to feed it oxygen. But if you start losing some of them, it can manifest in vision. So that's been reported, but much more common in my practice, and I think all ophthalmologists practice, is the cost of COVID is not necessarily the infection itself. Mm-hmm. What I described before is related to the COVID infection, active or post. But much more common is people who have put off their care.
Yes.
Patients with macular degeneration, patients with glaucoma, patients with diabetic retinopathy who have put off their care and end up with a degree of permanent vision loss because of delayed care.
They're afraid to go to the doctor.
Yes, yes, sir.
And it's that fear of COVID. They're right. Afraid if they go to the doctor, they'll catch COVID in the waiting room.
So honestly, I have seen much more loss of vision, way more, many more, from patients who have delayed care out of concern for catching COVID than I have from actual COVID.
Makes sense. Suicide rates are up. Depression
yes.
is up.
Yes.
Alcoholic liver disease is up. We got people dying of liver failure. We have people dying of drug overdoses. COVID, especially the isolation, the fear of others, the fear of being with other human beings, coupled with the government mandating that you not be with other human beings. You know, it's bad enough just because people are afraid to be with others. But then when you say, not only are you afraid, but the government is saying, we're going to punish you if you're near another human being.
Right.
Sure. People are, you know, they're depressed. They're self-destructive.
Fearful.
They're very fearful, and they're not getting the medical care.
Right.
Cancer deaths are going up.
Yes, of course.
Heart attack.
Cardiovascular.
Heart attack and strokes are going up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Reuben Maiden, who's been a guest here, or my cardiologist, my wife's, and many of the people listening right now, says that's a big issue when people don't get their care.
Right. And certainly in the eye, we see that manifest with the macular degeneration folks who have been receiving treatment and say, I better take a break. But oftentimes that's not recoverable.
Do they see the decline themselves?
They may or may not. For instance, if you have one eye, so let's say we have some asymmetry, one eye that has just a little bit, one eye that has a lot. You may not even notice that one eye, that the one eye that is more involved, that has greater degrees of pathology. You may not notice that it's getting worse because your brain has learned to depend on the good eye. But if that is taking steps decreasing, it may not be recoverable.
Well, I remember you have been a guest here for many good reasons, long before the pandemic started, and you used to say that at 50, there are things that can be happening that you can't tell that are potentially reversible. And you used to say that if you're 50 or older, you need to have an eye exam once a year. You still stand by that, obviously.
Absolutely. I saw a 46-year-old young lady today, 46, who was told that she has astigmatism and congenital night blindness. Just astigmatism. But she said, but glasses never helped me. We did a full eye exam. I was able to get her to good vision, but she actually has some pathology in the central retina that needs to be monitored aggressively. She's never been told about it.
Why? Why not?
I can't. Well,
just say it.
So, you know, Pete, either,
say it.
I have one of the greatest surgeons, greatest, best known heart surgeons in the country used to say he was really not very friendly, shall we say. But one of his comments, if he didn't like.
He was
like,
crusty?
He was at least crusty and intolerant. Intolerant. And he used to say, son, he was Southern, son, either you don't know or you don't care. Either you don't know or you don't care. And I see that that's likely true. Either you didn't know and know what it was, or you didn't notice it. Because, and here's what happens with that 46-year-old. Because 46 usually doesn't have problems, the exams are often more cursory, yeah. Right? You go to an optometrist, they look through, say, well, I see some astigmatism, you're fine. And they miss the pathology. I've seen cataracts in patients in their 40s. No, it shouldn't be there, but, you know, to deal with the pathology you see. And it's not reported to the patient because, honestly, you don't see it very often, so you miss it. Expectation bias, right? Mm-hmm. And so you miss what's bothering the patient. One, so, you know, another interesting thing is that that I have not seen personally, but I think is really curious, that folks should know about. We talk on the program here and sometimes just on the Bellomedica program, Beautiful You, which is wonderful. Thank you very much. But on those programs, we've talked about PRP and facial fillers. Something folks should know, if you have had facial fillers, there's a very small percentage of those patients who can have facial swelling after the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Now, it's absolutely no argument for not doing the vaccine. Absolutely no argument. It's easily treated. The benefit for the vaccine is overwhelmingly on the positive side. But if you've had facial fillers, you want to alert the people who've done the vaccine and just be aware. Easily treated. To my knowledge, it's never been, and I cannot conceive of why it would be reported with those patients who have had PRP. Which I don't know is more commonly, but I think you guys do that more than the facial fillers. Yeah. Am I right?
I prefer the PRP and help them to grow their own tissue instead of putting in the artificial stuff.
And it's more natural.
Yeah, but we do them both.
Yeah. So just a footnote for those of you who may be at risk for that. You just know that it's there. I would not hesitate to have that, the vaccine, because of it. Absolutely not.
So what do you tell people? I think I better ask you, Jerry, not him, because it would sound self-serving. But what do you tell our listeners right now who are 40 and above, well, anybody really, but 40 and above, who have just delayed and they're afraid to go to the doctor? They're afraid to go to an ophthalmologist.
Many years ago, when I was young and a lot dumber than I am now, I ran off and I joined the Army.
Okay, yeah.
One thing I learned in combat, in battlefields, never let fear control what you do. You do what needs to be done and you ignore the fear. Yeah. Fear is what will kill you. Fear will keep you from doing what needs to be done, and that's where you're going to get hurt. And when it comes to your health, we see this in our society enormously right now. We see millions of people not getting the medical care they need because they're afraid to go to the doctor. And it's just so foolish. The odds against you being injured in that doctor's office are, the odds of you being injured are tiny, 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 tiny. Everybody's taking enormous precautions. They're giving you masks when you come.
Oh, they do. Oh, my gosh. Your place is spotless.
Right.
Yeah. And
everything gets, we've always wiped down between patients, but now we're practically scrubbing the floors and the ceiling. So,
yeah. And, you know, we have people all over America that are being injured and killed not directly from COVID, but from the fear of getting their medical care.
Right.
They're having heart attacks. They're having strokes. Their diabetes is going out of control. You know, they're dying of liver failure and kidney failure and all sorts of things that could be stopped if they weren't afraid to go to the doctor.
So let me just say here, folks, if you've not been to an ophthalmologist lately and you think you need to, you probably do. And don't let fear. Somebody once said very recently that America has a new religion, and it's fear. I mean, it's just permeated everything we do. It's affected our children. Every corner of America is controlled by fear right now. Don't let it keep you from keeping your eyesight at optimal levels. That's what you want.
And certainly those patients who have either active macular degeneration or family history of macular degeneration.
Yes, yes.
Those people who have diabetes, absolutely critical that you get that checked.
Don't delay. Sure,
because many of those changes can't be reversed. And if caught early, stopped or totally reversed.
And to make your appointment, Northwest Vision Institute, Dr. Michael Gilbert. Here's his phone number. He's in Bellevue and Totem Lake. So you can take your pick. Bellevue and Totem Lake. 425-450-2020. You probably paid extra for that phone number, right?
Yes, sir.
You've had it a long time,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir, I did.
Yeah, okay. 425-450-2020 for Northwest Vision Institute. You owe it to yourself to have the best. Leading Edge Medicine is the name of the show. And it's why this guy right here, Dr. Michael Gilbert, is sitting here in front of the microphone. 425-450-2020. I know I've got another question or two for you. Can you say another segment?
I'd love to.
Okay, hang on. Don't go far. We'll be right back.
I'm just so pleased, and I just want people out there to know that they should go to your seminar. That's what we did, and, you know, it just made a difference. I never, ever had this much energy before, as long as I could remember. And I cannot believe the difference in my husband, internally changing him. I mean, he's honestly getting more confident. And just listening to the radio, you think, oh, you know, it's an advertisement. But when you're actually here and going through it, it's just a life changer.
You know, that's Mel Carter, of course, but the lady who started off coming back from the break was talking about the seminar. Well, we don't do seminars anymore, and we do have a whole new series of testimonials that we're going to be presenting, but I've left that one in there for a good reason. Seminars, Jerry, you've always loved doing seminars.
I like seminars. I miss seminars.
And we are going to do some more very focused and topically oriented seminars. But what we've done lately over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months is we're making the show more educational. Mm-hmm. It's still, we still take calls. We haven't taken calls yet today, but we will. But it's more educational, building. This is why we've had Dan Nelson here and Michael Gilbert to build and to teach. This is what people liked at the seminars, mm-hmm. and this is what they're liking. It just so happens, by the way, this change has jumped our numbers on the radio. Our number of listeners is much higher. Actually, it's really growing dramatically because they like questions, and we're not giving up questions from our
but
listeners.
It turns out folks like teaching from the doctors.
They like more teaching. And
I didn't want to do seminars again, but not the routine ones. I want
to
focus on. I want to do seminars on preventing cancer.
Oh yes.
You know, preventing.
Oh, good.
Heart disease. Mm-hmm. Preventing cognitive decline. I want to do some focus. Not our seminars. I would actually like to do a whole half day, a whole afternoon, on what you can actually do to keep from getting cancer, to keep from getting heart disease, from keep from getting demented. You know, I think these sorts of things are important.
Yeah, and very soon we are not going to be governed and controlled by fear. And it will not be long where we will be getting back together for some very specialized gatherings. Mm-hmm. And no, we won't cram you all together in a clamshell.
Good on a cruise ship.
Well, yeah, that's my hope and my prayer.
That would be an adventure.
Yes. In any event, folks, this is it's turning out that because of our more teaching, we don't need the seminars per se, and we just decided to make the free health analysis appointments available right here on the show rather than selling or not selling them. They're free, promoting them at seminars. So here we are. We're doing the education, and it's more than enough information for our listeners to determine, yeah, I want to at least tip my toe into the water here and grab one of those free health analysis appointments. And we give the two free tests, by the way. We still do that, the blood test and the special in-body test. And together, it's really fun to see. You can determine what your basic health risks are just from those two free tests. And then when you have that information, then you can make decisions about maybe another baby step you can take or bigger step, whatever. But get the information first. That's what the health analysis is all about. And if you'd like one of them, you simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Push the schedule now button right there in the middle of the page, and you select the clinic that is best for you. We've got three in the greater Puget Sound area, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. And when you select, let's say you select Tacoma, well, then the Tacoma schedule pops up on your screen, and you pick one. Maybe Tuesday at 10 o'clock, Wednesday at 3:30, that kind of a thing. And it's yours. And we still give you $100 of free longevity supplements. So it's kind of a no-brainer if you want to take that next step. It's easy. It's free. And most importantly, you'll get the information you need to not only give you hope, but maybe some steps you can take to do something about it. So lmclinic.com. All right, we still have Dr. Michael Gilbert here. And during the break again, you guys started talking, and I said, stop talking. Save that for the radio show. Right. So, Jerry, I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Yeah, I had a question for Michael, and it was actually one asked by my 8-year-old daughter. She knows that both mom and dad were very nearsighted. My wife had her LASIK done in her 30s. I had my lens exchanged in my 60s. And so we both now have very acceptable vision without glasses. Our daughter, however, since she was born to two parents, both of them with severe myopia, has nearsightedness herself.
So she knows who to blame.
She knows who to blame, mom and dad, you know. So, and, you know, she gets her brilliance from her mother and her good looks from her dad. So, anyway. Well, maybe that's reversed. I don't know. We'll see. But when I sent her to you a year or more, year, 18 months, some time ago,
it has been.
You guys checked her vision, said, yep, she's really nearsighted. And you gave her some interesting contacts that she only wears while she sleeps. And for those of you that don't know about these are really kind of neat.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You put them on before you go to bed, and you sleep with them. And they reshape your eye while you sleep. So then you wake up in the morning, you take your contacts out, and you can see fine all day. And you don't need glasses, and you don't have to worry about contacts falling out or slipping or anything.
Yeah.
You wore them at night when you were sleeping.
And there are some studies that show that using that technology may slow some of the progression of nearsightedness that's built into her genes, as we were discussing.
Sure. So, but once in a while, she goes to bed and she wakes up and one of the lenses is bothering her and she takes it out. And a week or so ago, I think the first time, she actually had both eyes bugging her. So we took out both her lenses. She went to school the next day and said, I can't see the whiteboard very well, because she had gone 2 days now without the lenses. Mm-hmm. And so as she was finishing her piano lesson, she turned to me, because I give her a 30-minute piano lesson every morning, 7 days a week. She turned to me and she said, Daddy, you and mommy both had your eyes fixed. When can I get my eyes fixed?
Oh, that's great.
So I thought, okay, that's a question for Michael to find out. How old will she be, most likely, at which point her eyes will be stable enough that she could have something like a LASIK or a lens exchange?
Right. So the quickest answer is when her prescription is entirely stable. And that partly depends on how severe her nearsightedness is going to be, which has a genetic component. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know how nearsighted you were or Bandine. So if
we were both about 2200.
So we can guess. So the youngest I have done LASIK, and LASIK would be the best technology between say 18 and 50. 18 and 50.
Age 18
years old to 50. The youngest I've done LASIK is 18 because you're still in that stage where things can change. But if you follow someone very carefully in their late teens and they have the prescription has not changed for several years, it's reasonable to do LASIK, even late teens. I prefer early 20s, assuming they're stable. Some people with very high nearsightedness may progress into their mid, even their late 20s, but that's uncommon. So it's much more common that sometime in the early 20s, as long as you have, you know, 6 months, but I'd prefer at least a year of prescription stability. No more nearsighted shift. Like if every year it's just a little more nearsighted, it's too early because you don't want to do LASIK and find out a year, two, three later that you're
you're back in glasses.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you have to have an enhancement or a second surgery. So you want to make sure it's stable, but that's easy to determine. We just track that. Now, the answer changes, and that's where Bandine was. Remember we said, I said from 18 to 50.
Yeah.
And that's where she had her LASIK.
She was in her mid-30s.
It would have been exactly, I'd wait till she's stable. Certainly she's stable by her, by 30. And so LASIK is the answer. However, after 50, you still can do it. In fact, we use a more powerful technology than LASIK. And I love LASIK. I was part of the FDA approval process when I was at Hopkins for LASIK. Powerful and exciting, very precise. But when you're a little older adult, there are two things going on. You have your nearsightedness or farsightedness, and the natural lens is degenerating in function before it becomes a cataract. And for people who are listening, what that means is each year your bifocal or your reading glasses gets a little bit stronger. And that's the degeneration of that natural lens. Well, at 50, if you're going to have a procedure, if you're going to have something fixed, fix the whole darn thing. And that's what you had.
That's what I had.
You said, darn it, it's not as good as it used to be. I'm not putting up with this. And I had mine done in my 50s. And many people are not waiting. And that's where we do refractive lens exchange, commonly called RLE. And that's where it can treat a much wider range of prescription. Very high farsightedness beyond what LASIK can fix. Very high nearsightedness. Beyond what LASIK can fix. And at the same time we fix that prescription disability at distance, we can also give you back intermediate and near with that implant technology, which you can't do with LASIK at that age. Mm. I hate sentences that include the words at your age. I avoid that using that in the clinic. But nonetheless, here it applies. And once that's done, you know, if you will, the coolest part is not only getting that full range of vision distance that you didn't have, intermediate that you were losing, reading that you had lost, but it should stay stable the rest of your life. The implant technology is using polymers that are stable and most likely will stay stable for decades, highest likelihood by a huge margin. So once done, you should never get cataracts after that. You will not, cannot. I sound like Seuss. Will not, cannot. Right?
I'm going to cancel you. Stop that.
I'm used to being canceled. I have teenage kids.
All right.
So the likelihood of it remaining stable is enormously high for the rest of your life.
That's super.
So that's a long-winded answer for your daughter.
It's for Ivory.
Right. We can cut it down. Keep patient. We'll get there.
Yeah, 8 to 10 years.
Yes.
So she'll need to keep wearing those contacts at night then?
Yes, at least for now. And, okay. You know, the technology may improve. I mean, she's only 8.
Absolutely.
She turns 9 next month, in fact.
Okay.
The 12th of next month. So, yeah, but you know, we're going to watch the technology, and Michael's going to keep
us up. And if she's having those comfort issues, we should check, you know, sometimes there can be deposits on the contacts. You know, we should check those out, make sure that that's not part of it.
Okay, we'll get an appointment and have her come back in.
Yeah.
Okay, I have an email question that came in. I'm going to have to wait, and we need to go to a break right now. And then I've got one more quick question. Can you stay just a little bit longer?
Yes, of course. I'd be delighted.
Just a little bit.
I love this. Oh. You're so good to tolerate me. I have so much fun.
Folks, if you have not had an ophthalmological exam lately, I had a hard time saying that for some
reason.
It
really does. I don't
know if you haven't seen Dr. Michael Gilbert yet, go ahead and make an appointment. His phone number is 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020. He's in Totem Lake and Bellevue. Really, your main, well, Bellevue is where I've always gone.
That's right.
425-450-2020. Makes really, really good sense. And one more question for him when we get back.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Listen to past programs by going to lmclinic.com.
I had gone to my doctor and I found out I had osteoporosis. She wanted me to go on the traditional female hormones. And then I heard Dr. Mixon on the radio, because then I realized there were really good options that were different and I didn't have to take the traditional route. Within 3 months of being a patient at Longevity, I had my energy back. I could feel happy again. You won't be sorry that you attended one of these seminars.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual the moment that you speak.
Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot. I've got two doctors here again. I almost always have two. Dr. Umad is not with us today. She is on vacation.
Whoa.
And we're not exactly sure. You were being silly, right, when you said she was in Seattle, or is she in Seattle?
Last I heard, she wasn't planning to leave town.
Oh,
it was a staycation.
But
she was going to talk to her hubby and see if there was somewhere they could go.
Okay.
I haven't talked to him since the weekend, okay. So I have no idea where they are now.
All right. All right. That's okay. Obviously, also with Dr. Jerry Mixon, also Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. I told you I had one more, a question from a listener.
Is this a tough one or an easy one?
Oh, it is a good one.
Okay.
The question basically is, every time they hear you, Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute, Dr. Gilbert, you sound so advanced, so sophisticated, so on the leading edge. Are you more expensive than just going down the street? For example, why shouldn't they go to Costco? Is they're really asking that question. Can't I please go to Costco? It's so cheap. But you're so advanced, so sophisticated, you must be horribly expensive.
It really is a great question, because there's a lot of confusion on this. It turns out that whether you go to, you know, there's an extremely small group of eye care providers that don't accept insurance. But the reality is, to practice in ophthalmology and most disciplines of medicine, you guys are rare exceptions. In order to see a high number of people, you have to accept insurance. So I accept insurance. I sign all those contracts, which means I am a Medicare government-controlled utility. They set my rates, and I have agreed to accept those, which means that I do not cost a nickel more, and neither a nickel less than the fellow down the road, including the optometrists who are not full MDs.
No,
so even those people who practice in Costco charge the exact same dollar amount, because Medicare and the other commercial providers set the rates. But then you ask something, a part of that is really a value question. Let's just say you pay the same. Is the value the same?
And good question.
I'd like to argue that it is not.
Yes.
I saw a patient just today, and I think I'd had just one too many espressos before I did, but they came in and they were having an enormous amount of difficulty. And both the wife and the husband had glasses that were very poorly designed. They weren't working. And the patients complained about them, said that they had gone back and gone back. And I said, you got those at Costco, didn't you? And they said, yes. And I said, Costco always designs the glasses that way. And unfortunately, there's no way you can read with those, even though you paid for that expensive lens. So you don't get the value necessarily. And they said, well, why would they do that? And I actually shared with them the same thing that I said to you earlier. Either they don't know or they don't care. I'm not sure which. But I've seen it so much for so many decades. Same mistakes with many different opticians. You can't explain that.
Yeah, this isn't meant to be an attack on Costco. This is sort of an attack on reality, because I know for a fact, in fact, I've talked to too many of your patients, some of them my friends and relatives, you do tests that other ophthalmologists, and certainly Costco, don't even dream of doing. For example, I don't know what you're going to say, but for example, what do you do that many others don't do?
I think one of the things that I probably do the most that is missed by my colleagues is the degeneration of the glands that are responsible for dry eyes, and particularly for computer vision syndrome, where fatigue while you're on the computer, tearing, things like that. There is a gland system that is honestly missed.
And what are those called again?
The meibomian glands.
I knew that. Right.
I saw a 12-year-old today who's very respectful, very bright young man, really just, you know, a gentleman for 12 years old. I was just, you know, mm-hmm. Yes, sir. No, sir. I thought,
something's wrong with that kid.
Where did you grow up? It wasn't here in Seattle. But anyway. He was saying, I get very tired when I'm on my computer. And so I took a picture of the glands. And at 12-year-old, he had almost 50% permanent loss of those glands.
Permanent, you said.
Permanent loss. Now, it can happen for medical reasons. There are a number of different things on the list. But the number one reason I see is patients who work intensely on computers. And Dad said, he sure does. And I wish whatever. And so, bright enough that I walked him through what was going on and what he needed to do to change it. And if I ask him, I need you to stop using the computer so much, is that likely to happen?
No.
We'd all agree not. So we better come up with a solution that is a practical one that allows him to change. And so that's one of the things we do, is we go over how can you change your behavior.
Okay. I have a son. I don't think he'll be upset at me, right? I'm looking at Jerry because he knows him.
Oh, boy.
I have a son.
I roll
here. Your patient.
Yes.
And, I mean, he's had other eye exams over the years. But you, it's his meibomian?
Meibomian glands, yes.
Meibomian.
Meibomian.
Okay.
Meibomian.
Meibomian. Anyway, I can't say it. But it's a problem for him.
Yes.
And you caught it. And it wouldn't have been caught any other place. And it's serious in the sense that it was going to get worse and worse and worse.
Absolutely.
If you hadn't have discovered it.
The most common treatment from that historically and today is to give that individual a bottle of artificial tears and say, use these when your eyes get dry. The problem with that is it ignores the underlying pathology and, if anything, can accelerate the problem.
So those glands need to be examined.
That's right.
Yeah, those glands need to be exercised.
Yes.
You see, those glands, the meibomian glands, only work when you blink. And it's the blinking, the opening and closing of the eye, and it's that mechanical activity that causes them to squirt out their secretions, these little oily, slick secretions that lubricate and coat and hold moisture in the lens, or in the cornea, or conjunctiva, I guess.
Yeah, for both. Really, both.
Yeah. So it's the lack of blinking
right.
that causes the problem. And people that work on computers a lot just stare at the screen.
90% of patients who have dry eye symptoms, and sometimes that's excess tearing. People come in with tears running down their cheeks. And it's because the eye gets so dry, it clicks into system 2, which is that same tearing that happens when you peel an onion or you get sand in your eyes or something like that. But the underlying pathology is dryness.
And tears are not the solution.
No.
Because tears are different from the secretions from the meibomian glands.
See,
I messed it up once too. Yeah. But those secretions are thicker, they're oilier, they hold moisture on the eye much better than tears. Tears are mostly salt water. They just kind of run in and out.
And it's designed to flood the system, and in stress situations where there's surface irritation, and it's preservation. So if you get sand in the eye or something in the eye, it's there to wash it out.
Right. But the gland problem that he's talking about, that gives you these long-term dry eye issues, and actually vision changes, because as the eye surface is drying out, it flattens out and doesn't focus the light the way it's supposed to.
That's right.
So it's the glandular activity helps the eye stay moist and flexible, but you've got to blink. Got to blink. That's the number
one. If you're having those symptoms, fluctuation in vision, fatigue, whether it's reading, computer, television, screen time, then it's really important you get those checked out, because oftentimes it's reflective of permanent loss of those glands.
So where people... Permanent
loss of the glands.
Oh, my golly. So now tell me.
In fact, the best motivator I can do is I take a picture of those glands and I show it to the patient and I say, this is what I'm seeing today. This is what you have left. And sometimes that's a lot. Sometimes, even at 12, he had lost almost 50% of the glands in the areas that I checked. That's way too young to be losing body parts. Yes, but I see that in 20s, in 30s. 12 is the youngest I've seen it.
So out of all the people that do eye exams.
Oh, you're going to drag me down a very uncomfortable road.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to ask you to name a company or what have you. But how many are having those glands checked?
Well, I can only,
what percentage?
I can only tell you that it is usually a big surprise to patients who come in and they will report that they've seen many eye doctors and never had that permanent gland loss pointed out to them.
Yeah. Well, it's a very small percentage of ophthalmologists or optometrists that are checking those glands. Scary.
And Pete, as we're talking about value, I mean, I'm a patient here at Longevity. I see Dr. Umat. And some people think such care is expensive to go to the best. I'd like to point out it may be more expensive not to go to the best. And so you have to look at value. What does it cost and what are the alternatives? And you may find that the mistake is thinking it was expensive.
That is such an excellent point. And Jerry, for 22 years, there are people, not from reality, but people assume, because we don't take insurance,
right,
they assume that Longevity Medical Clinic is only for the wealthy.
Yeah. Well, I'd give a couple of points here. First, it's not that we don't take insurance. It's that insurance doesn't cover what we do.
Oh, very good point. Right? That's very good point.
Exactly right.
We are treating the normal but undesired changes that happen as you get older. And because they are normal changes, they are not covered by insurance. So, if insurance would pay me for what I do, that would be one thing, but they won't. So, why sign a contract for somebody that won't pay for what I do? That's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So you got it backwards. It's not that we don't take insurance. It's insurance doesn't cover what we do. Our job is not just to treat diseases, which is what the normal doctor does. Our job is to make you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier next year than you were last year. And that's different. So if you don't mind getting slow, weak, fat, and stupid as you get old and losing your sexuality, fine, don't come see us. If you want to get stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier, we're your guys.
And with that in mind, it's a good time for me to remind you, especially those who are new and those who have procrastinated, that we still make available the free health analysis appointment. Yes. For this very, very reason. We give two free tests, the blood test, the special in-body test. Together, they combine to give you sort of your basic underlying problems.
Yep.
And with that, then you can make intelligent decisions about what you want to do with them.
I'd like to make one other little point.
Okay.
And that is Dr. Gilbert is one of our patients. Dan Nelson, the last doctor that was here last hour.
That's right.
One of our patients. I don't know exactly how many physicians we have as patients right now. It's been several years since I went through and counted them up. But several years ago, when I counted up, we had 52 physicians as patients in our clinic. So we are the clinic that the doctors come to.
That's right.
When they want to get stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier.
Including, for example, naturopaths.
Obstetricians, pathologists, surgeons, orthopedic surgeons, general surgeons. We've got all kinds of physicians who come to our clinic. It's kind of fun being the clinic that the doctors come to.
It is. And these are, quite frankly, some of the smartest people on the planet, and they come for a darn good reason. Yeah. They don't like what the aging process is doing.
They don't like what time and gravity doing to them.
That's right. And they realize they don't have to put up with it. So, if you would like to make a free health analysis appointment, folks, this is a good time to do it. We're still offering, by the way, $100 of free longevity supplements just for doing it. And you simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push the schedule now button, and boom, you just simply make an appointment at one of our three clinics, lmclinic.com. Hope you'll do that. And before we say goodbye to Dr. Michael Gilbert, thank you, Michael.
Oh, always a great joy. I have so much fun.
This was really good today.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot of people that should give you a call. I hope you do, folks. He's got the best phone number of any ophthalmologist on the planet, and it's easy, 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020. I hope you won't procrastinate any longer with your eyes either. 425-450-2020, Northwest Vision Institute. You'll be glad you made the call. Okay, hey, I think we're going to take a call or two. Finally, we're going to get around to it today, so don't go far. We'll be right back.
This is Carolyn. In our 60s, my husband and I were struggling with libido, and I've always called him Dudley Do-Right because he's such a good guy, but since longevity, now I'm calling him Studley Do-Right.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. Yes, baby. Ooh, how sweet it is to be loved.
Hey, isn't that kind of fun? Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Do you want to go from being Dudley Do-Right to Studley Do-Right? I love it. That's just one of the many reasons why you want to consider being a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic. Really take advantage of the free health analysis appointment. Make your own appointment online at lmclinic.com. Get the two free tests. Get the $100 of free longevity supplements. You know you need to. You know you want to. You just have procrastinated a bit. I hope you'll do it now at lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Or you can also call 866-86-YOUNG and make an appointment that way as well, 866-86-YOUNG. Okay, hey, let's take a call. Okay, let's go back to Olala. It's Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
Yeah, got a question on Lyme's disease. A dear lady, friend of mine, unbeknownst to me, her husband flew her all the way to Florida for stem cell therapy, and it failed miserably, probably because they were frozen or something, I don't know. Is there any cure for Lyme's disease that she could go to your clinic and get real treatment?
Well, we don't treat Lyme's. Lyme disease does have therapies. And the most effective forms of Lyme disease now use three drugs instead of one or two, because right. some of those bugs are a little resistant, especially if they've had a chronic infection. But there are infectious disease doctors that specialize in this sort of thing and can put her on triple drug therapy and with a very, very good cure rate. But I would not try to treat Lyme disease with stem cells. That whoever tried to sell her that should be smacked upside the head.
Yeah. Do you know of any clinics within the Seattle, Bellevue area that would deal with that?
Oh, sure. No, most of the major centers have infectious disease doctors that specialize in these things.
Oh, okay. Or even rheumatology would do it.
Sure.
Yeah. The problem with Lyme disease is that there are some, what is it, strains or some people really have very serious
There are some chronic infections that can be very hard to eradicate, which is why you need the infectious disease guys to do it.
Yeah.
But if you look at any of the major hospital centers here, they will have an infectious disease department. And, that's really where you need to go. Don't go to somebody selling you off-the-wall, unapproved therapies for this. Go and get a board-certified infectious disease person to handle it for you.
Okay. Pass that information on.
Thanks, Matthew. Well, 2 hours has zipped right along. We're glad you've been with us today. Thank you so much. Hope you'll tell a friend or two about us and tune in every weekend. That would be good. And for those of you who have procrastinated and you've wanted to make a free health analysis appointment, there's no better time. Boy, I'm telling you, with the pandemic and all of the craziness going on, there's never been a better time to work on your immune system, to take preventive action, to deal with your own body. Again, your immune system is so very important. Longevity Medical Clinic is the ultimate preventive health clinic, truly. If you'd like one of the free health analysis appointments, you get the 2 free tests. You get the blood test and the special in-body, and together, that'll help tell you exactly what your basic risks are as you get older. So again, to make your own free health analysis appointment, go to our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Push the Schedule Now button, and it's easy to do. Select the clinic that is best for you, Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland, and the schedule for that clinic will pop up on your screen with all the appointments and all the available health analysis appointments anyway. So select the one that is best for you and maybe your mate, and make 2 appointments, and that would be fun to do, all at lmclinic.com. Or if you don't have a computer or access, you want to talk to somebody, you can call us toll-free at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. Hey, thank you, everybody. Tell a friend, and join us next week for another edition of Leading Edge Medicine. Have a good rest of your weekend.